Thank you very much. It's good to be back in Wisconsin and good to be back with the Packers and seeing some very familiar faces. From where this started several years ago, I got cut from the 49ers, and I was actually disappointed when I got the call that this is the Green Bay Packers, your flight leaves in 2 hours. And I remember thinking that, you know, they were the only team that had drafted a kicker, and the way the waiver wire process worked was that the team with the worst record from the year before would get you. And knowing that the Packers had won the Super Bowl, I knew that there was one team in the league that put in a bid on me, and that was the world champ. So I got on the plane, and the last thing I told my dad was, I'm going to be the kicker on Monday night. I don't know how, but I'm going to do it. And the first game was against the Bears, and I remember seeing the 38-yarder fly through the goalposts on the first drive and thinking, no matter what happens from here, I'm good, because I did it. And who would have thought, you know, 16 years later, had a decent career, and you know, I had a great run here, and I'm very proud of it. I'm proud of what I accomplished, and humbled by the support, and humbled with the chance to get back. So before I take any questions or anything, there's a lot of people I have to thank, but foremost, it's been great the last 24 hours being back here with Sarah and Reese and Shay. You know, when Sarah and I came out here, we were dating, and to think that both kids were born in Green Bay and that they really don't remember much of it, because when we left here, you know, they were very, very young. So we did the tour around the houses we lived in yesterday and got to see those. And for them to experience Lambeau and walk out on the field yesterday and kind of see where old daddy used to work has been pretty special to see it through their eyes. And they've been my rock, and they've been so supportive of me throughout this career. And especially Sarah, with, you know, a lifestyle that got to where the kids were going to school in Orlando and I was going back and forth to play, you know, she held down the fort. So it was awesome. And I thank Russ Ball, who's been instrumental in getting this thing organized. We've been talking for months now about this. And just with our schedule and everything, the timing worked out well for now. And Ted Thompson has been great. And then going back to the beginning, I literally would not be here without Ron Wolf. The guy took a chance to help out a buddy who happened to be my agent, and lo and behold, I got the job and lasted. So a lot of great people, a lot of great teammates, and a lot of support, but I've had great coaches, and they all gave me a chance, and it's been a lot of fun, but nonetheless, it's great to be back. Great to be a Green Bay Packer again, and for the long haul, to be a Packer is pretty special to us. So thank you. I'll take questions.
So, Ryan, can you definitively say you're not going to ever kick again? If a team asks you to come in and try out, say the Packers, for example, would you consider it?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done kicking. You know, a little background on why I'm done, but why I'm so firm and done. My faith is extremely important to me. I mean, that's what keeps me going, and that's what, you know, I follow the lead. And I was born in Seattle and grew up watching Jim Zorn and Steve Largent and all those guys, and went to the Kingdome with my grandpa, and it was always a dream of mine to play in the Kingdome and just cheer for the Seahawks and do that. And that 1 week I got to kick for the Seahawks this past year in the playoffs was the perfect ending to my career. I remember Sarah and I just put the kids to bed on Sunday night, and we had been talking about retiring and being done, and my agent called and he said, it's the Seahawks and they need you. Do you want to go? And we just kind of looked at each other, and knowing the big picture that the Lord works in mysterious ways, and just thinking, man, you talk about a bookend and a great way to finish. So if that would have gone to the Super Bowl, it would have been great, but the fact it was 1 week and all my relatives were still out in Seattle and got to see all them, that was just the perfect ending to this career. So, yeah, I am officially done. I'm in the working world now, and I'm happy about it.
So what are you doing now?
The community we live in Orlando is owned by a Tavistock Group, and that group has partnered with Tiger Woods and Ernie Els to build this resort in the Bahamas called Albany. And Albany is a kind of a high-end luxury resort, and I've been working for them for 6 months and getting people over there and getting you know, to know, getting them to know the property and what's available over there. And it's a golf place on the beach in the Bahamas in Nassau, so it's pretty good. We just came from there this weekend. We hosted a few families over there to show them around, and that's why we all have raccoon eyes and sunburns. So working for them, and been doing that for about 6 months.
So you could have chosen to retire as a Viking or as a Packer. Was it a tough call, or why the Packers?
Well, you know, I'm proud of what I accomplished over here, and not that I'm not. I felt I had a great run in Minnesota, but you know, I was blessed. I was blessed to be able to live what is the Packers experience for 9 years. And, you know, it was basically my first team. I mean, I had a cup of coffee with the Niners, but this was, you know, my first team. And Sarah and I grew up here, and kind of this was our NFL experience. And we were so blessed to be able to go and see this whole operation from the other side, from the visiting sideline, from the visiting locker room, from the other side of the state line, and see just how special, you know, not just the tradition and the fan base, but the people here are, and how crazy the fans are, and playing in front of sellouts all the time. And, you know, just seeing how special this was, and knowing that this, you know, little kid from Bend, Oregon, you know, were the all-time leading scorer, was, you know, it's kind of how we wanted to go about it. I didn't know, because of my run in Minnesota, if it was even possible, but when we started reaching out to Ted and Russ Ball months ago that, hey, you know, this is kind of what we'd like to do, they were all in. So it was really good, and obviously the timing was right for it.
I know you got a lot of memories here at Green Bay, but what memory sticks out above all of the ones you
spent? Well, you know, the best one, probably the one I regret, is not enjoying my rookie year Super Bowl run more. You know, I was looking in the locker room with Favre and Reggie White and these guys, and I'm thinking, we are going to go to the Super Bowl every single year, so it's not even a big deal, you know, that we lost this one. And, man, I never got back, you know. So I wish we would have enjoyed that a little more. I'll never forget that 38-yarder against the Bears on Monday night. You know, that was probably every kid's dream. You know, Monday night football for the defending world champs, and on the opening drive, you go down and kick a field goal. So I'll never forget that. And then on the non-football side of things, you know, I had great teammates, but the two experiences that I'll never forget and really changed my life were walking through the old tunnel with my best friend and buddy and teammate Josh Bidwell before a mock game, the night before, the night before a game. And he goes, hey, I need you to pray for me because I think we may have found something, and I'm going to get it checked after this. And how that spiraled within a 12-hour period just changed my life forever with his cancer situation. And then, obviously, when, you know, Doug and Josh and I were with Brett when he got the call that his dad had passed, that and moving on to the game that Monday night in Oakland was stuff that is almost surreal to think you lived through it and were part of it. So those are the experiences. I had a lot of great ties and those couple ones that really steered our life in a different direction and made you appreciate everything a whole lot more.
Ryan, you've had some wild things happen and been part of. I mean, you were in the middle of the Favre thing in Minnesota, and then the Tiger Woods thing, people thinking Sarah was Eli. I mean, all that kind of crazy stuff. But was it different to be here where something like an innocuous joke about Applebee's gets you in hot water? I mean, this is a different place than some of the other places you've been and where you've lived and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, this place, you know, people ask me what's the difference and everything, and you know, everybody knows the fan base, everybody knows the season ticket waiting list, but this, like, fan base and the whole Packer thing is much more of a family that than just a big city sports team, you know, and because of that family, you know, a stupid comment by a kid about Applebee's, you know, gets, you know, people not liking you, and rightfully so, you know, and what was meant to be kind of an off-the-cuff joke was taken out of context and turned into something. But that happens in a family where in, you know, a big city you just put on a tabloid or whatever and they make it, you know, like a big deal. But there's genuine hurt, you know, in a family. And so this, you know, atmosphere around here is different. It's just different because of the size of the town. It's different because of the passion of the fan base And it's different from the people in this building. I mean, you got people standing over here that, you know, grew up with me here, you know, and to see people climb the ranks within the organization and still get, you know, the quality of people, you know, it is a true family. And so, I mean, I remember Sarah before she was Sarah Quick, you know, and so this whole family, this people change, you know, and but it still stays tight and stays positive. And it's a, you know, a lot of people talk about it like it being a machine, and this is not a machine. This is just like, you know, it's all in the family, and whether it's the media, whether it's the fan base, or whether it's the players, it's the next man up. But people are taught about the Packer way and the Packer tradition, you know, very quickly. And with that comes responsibility to carry it on.
So I've seen the Packers-Vikings edge from both sides. What is it about those two organizations that has led some former Packers to either take shots at the Packers once they're in purple? What happens?
Well, you know, I think as an athlete, you're ultimately very competitive, and on that competitive coin on the other side is you have full 100% confidence in your abilities. And so I think it's only natural that if you get, you know, you let go or not wanted or not signed by your news organization or your job at, you know, or your NFL team, that there's going to be some, you know, animosity. And you could go to any other team on the planet, but when you happen to go to the one right across the border, you know, it kind of amps up that thing. So, you know, I know a lot of us have migrated that way, and most of us migrate back. And just one of those things that the rivalry between those two organizations and two teams is what it is. It's a great rivalry, and, you know, guys are – seen from them and seen from here, you know, playing a lot, and it just leads to, you know, some emotion that you don't get if you'd go elsewhere.
Brian, how long did it take you to, you know, get over the fact that, you know, you weren't going to come back here, and obviously you have gotten over it, you're coming back. Did it take a long time, and what do you think, you know, the process will be for guys like Favre and Jennings once they're retired?
Well, yeah, I think for me, you know, Sarah and I kind of enjoyed 05 with the feeling that, you know, there really wasn't much negotiation going on. So we kind of knew that it probably wasn't going to be coming back here. I mean, they're just, you know, it ended up there not being an option to come back, which made it easier. And then, you know, choosing between Tampa and Minnesota, which it came down to, you know, we felt obviously we were supposed to be in Minnesota, you know. But I think the blessing of being over there was being able to see it, you know, from the other side. And you see, you know, I mean, I saw Brett in Packer uniform throw the, you know, his record-setting touchdown in the Metrodome, you know, on the other sideline. And there's a part of you that's excited for him as a friend and as an organization. But, you know, it's just everything takes time and everything will happen. I have no doubt that, you know, Greg is loved here and will be loved here eventually. And Brett, and I think that thing is pretty close. I think they're in a good spot, everybody. And I think time heals everything, and everything will be made right when the time is right.
Brian, did you take a lot of flack for that Applebee's comment, even though it was only a joke? I mean, did you regret having said it? Or?
Well, obviously I regret the way it came out, no doubt. You know, it was a it was kind of a funny thing that people who knew us, and I mean, I know Jason knew us quite well. You know, Sarah and I would literally eat at Applebee's 5 to 7 times a week. I mean, it was our favorite place, and it wasn't like supposed to be a negative comment, you know. And so the joke was that maybe we'll have to venture out, and you know, there's more options and see what else is out there. But you know, it was kind of a joke that there was a writer at the time here, a columnist, that kind of took it on a different slant, and then the snowball happened, and so obviously I regretted saying it when that happened.
What was it like to be in the middle of the whole Favre thing? I mean, I know you still have friends here. You and he are still friends. I mean, what was that? I mean, you were even on the plane to go down there to convince him to come back the second time. Take us kind of through what that was like.
Yeah, Brett's a great friend. you know, talked to him again this morning. I mean, he's as excited for me being here in this situation as anybody. I think as a Viking, we knew what piece we needed, and the best guy available was Brett. And so that's why, you know, obviously it got a little bigger than we anticipated. Brett's a great friend. I was sad as a friend to see what happened here because I knew that there were two sides of the argument, one that Brett wanted to play and the other side that we got a great player in waiting that we need to move on to. So it wasn't like you could pick a side of the argument and say they're wrong. You know, I think both of them were right, and ultimately it's just one of those tough, tough decisions that has to be made, and people deal with that all the time in life, that there's just those big decisions that have to be made, and no matter what decision is made, some people are going to be happy and some people are going to be sad. And it was interesting, but then when Brett was done with the Jets and, you know, he came to Minnesota, it kind of took another curveball. So the whole thing was fun to be part of. It was crazy to be a part of. And someone contacted the Vikings to try to buy the car that I picked up Brett at the airport in. I mean, it's just like this crazy stuff that you never anticipate happening in your life, that helicopters are following you, and it just became such a huge story that I think people, you know, lost the overall picture that it was just a tough decision that had to be made.
You had some early adversity with that missed field goal against Philly. How did you overcome that? Was that a long process to get over that?
Yeah, you know, I learned so much from that. Twofold. One is that I had made everything in the preseason, and I made three field goals against the Bears. I had made three field goals against the Eagles that game, and so I had made my first 12, quote-unquote, NFL field goals. And I remember starting to think for myself, wow, you know, I can do this. This is pretty good, but, you know, pretty easy. It's just like college, you know? And so that missing that field goal really kind of set me back that everything is important and has to go through the same routine and has to be the utmost of focus, whether it's the first quarter field goal or the game winner at the end. They all got to be the same. And I'd like to think that I would have learned that lesson had I made it, but I'm not sure that I would. And so I think it was a blessing there. And I think from a media perspective, after that game, sitting there and answering questions for 45 minutes in front of my locker as the 23-year-old rookie, they only kept really Ross Verba and Sharper and myself on a loaded Super Bowl winning roster, and that was their first loss in 13 games or something like that. And answering those questions for 45 minutes really kind of put into perspective how important it is to perform and how you're going to be called if you don't. Yeah, yeah, it did. And the old vet, you know, was really, really slippery turf when it was wet. And, I'll never forget. It plays out in slow motion in my mind, obviously. But, we set up the field goal, and I'm running on, and Brett's running off the field. And he said, be careful, it's getting really slick. And, you know, I'm thinking, all right. But I went through my same exact routine, and, I didn't end up slipping a little on it. But in the big picture, that slip may have bought me 15 more years in the NFL, you know?
Do you have any advice for Mason? I mean, I don't know if you'll seek him out while you're here, or Giorgio, who's a Cal kicker.
Yeah.
As they go through this, because not only did you end up getting the job in 97, but you beat out Conway again in 98, didn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, do you have any advice as they go through this? Because we're obviously scrutinizing every kick.
Yeah, and I think that comes with the territory that, you know, Mason and Giorgio, for that matter, know what they're in for. I've kept in touch with Mason. I think the world of him. I've gone to bat for him a ton, even when I was with the Vikings over here. He is much, much better than his stats show because of how long of field goals he attempts. I think the world of the guy. I think he's a tremendous talent, and I think it'll work out how it's supposed to work out. I think as long as, you know, his rhythm's fine, he's one of, if not the best in the league. And I think Giorgio has had an unbelievable camp, and Giorgio's mindset is so refreshing that you don't see how the guy could ever fail. So I think it'll all work out. I'm looking forward to seeing how it pans out, but you know, I think they need live kicks, and, you know, they need the live situation. And as long as they both have the mindset right, you know, I see it working out the way it should.
Chris Jackie said that he thought some of Mason's struggles over last year were mental. Do you have a theory as to can sometimes a kicker just get the yip, so to speak?
Kicking is, I've always said, it's 10% physical and 90% mental. I mean, I think the good Lord gave me an above-average ability to swing my right leg and a really, really strong mind and faith, and that's what it takes to kick in this league. You know, I remember in 01, we went through a tough stretch of missing kicks, and it doesn't become as much physical. I mean, you don't really get the yips kicking because your leg and your hip joint can only go a certain direction. So it really becomes how you handle, you know, the pressure you put on yourself, and it becomes a mental game of getting yourself in the same mindset, the same routine, and the same rhythm. And so for me, I was never a guy that watched film and never, you know, studied technique. I would always go back to rhythm. And, you know, I had a DVD of Jason Hansen kicking, and when I would feel like I was getting off, I'd go watch that DVD, and his rhythm was exactly what I wanted. And when I was on, it was smooth. And so I think that's what I always went back to when you were getting a little off. It's the rhythm and the timing of the whole thing.
A couple more for Ryan.
You were the most accurate kicker, or are the most accurate kicker in Packers history. As you go back to when you didn't get re-signed here, what do you think the factors were involved there? And how long did it take you to kind of...
I think you can see just track record-wise of what the Packers have done, that they've been willing to part with guys as they're kind of, you know, reaching the peak on the maybe trending on the way down, to bring in a young guy that's got, you know, a ton of talent. And it's hard to argue. I mean, they've had extreme success with it. So, yeah, I just feel like big picture wise, everything happens for a reason. I felt our 9 years here were awesome, but we were supposed to go elsewhere and we didn't know where that was going to be, but it was time to do it. And it made it very easy that there wasn't a decision to come back here. I mean, there wasn't an option. So we just felt like that door's closed. There's another door open somewhere. Let's see what the good Lord has in store, and ended up being, you know, next door. But I didn't really have hard feelings about it because it was just kind of the next job.
Why do you want to go out there and see how the ball travels with the south end zone closed?
That was my comment to Sarah yesterday when we walked up there. I'm like, did they just take all the wind out of this place? Or new stadium looks awesome. You know, obviously my architecture background, which is nil, sees those two like 10 feet wide areas that are not finished on the end and see what's going to come through those and wind wise. But, you know, it looks great. I'm curious how the ball flies in there. Just like when they redid Soldier Field, it changed the whole thing. And I was telling Russ yesterday that the year we went through the renovation and they brought that whole north end down, it was like one of the toughest places to kick ever tried a field goal at.
Just how hard was it to kick here? I mean, you went to Minnesota and got to kick in the climate-controlled Metrodome. Just, I mean, you didn't make a ton of excuses when you would miss, but is it the hardest place to kick? You've been everywhere.
It's very difficult. My stats were better in Minnesota, you know, and I will tell you that I hit great kicks that missed here, but I will tell you that I also hit some miss hits that went through because of the wind brought it back online. So I think it all evens out. I thought there were a couple years there when the field was really sandy that made it difficult because you didn't know if your feet were going to slide or not. But, you know, I mean, it's the best grass field in the NFL, and it's in Wisconsin, you know, and now it's just so perfect that you know, I'd be curious to see how the new configurations will. But I think going through the renovation and going through the field changes, I think we went through like three or four different types of grass out there. In the early years, it was a very difficult place to play. And the further you got in the playoffs, the more difficult it became.
Ryan, do you think you'll come back up here at all for games? Or?
Yeah, I'm already was talking to Kathy and got some charity stuff set up. I'll be back in September and coming up to the Cleveland Browns game so in October. So starting to get back in the mix. My good friend, Bill Schrader, who we keep in touch with, brought me up kindly in June to do a charity golf tournament just to kind of test the waters to see if anybody was throwing golf balls at me, and the fans were awesome. So that really made it easier to kind of get ready for this and get the wheels in motion to to do this and end it the right way.
In your conversations with Brett, do you get the sense that he wants to be standing in where you're standing right now and that will happen soon?
I feel like he's, I feel like it will happen soon. I feel like everybody's in a good place about it. Like I said, I think, time heals everything, and I think it's his desire to be here. When that happens, like I said, I think it will be the right time, but, I don't know when that is.